Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
Okay, that's how we bring her in. And Thabiseng Tubazana in studio with us, resident legal expert. This is the moment. 086-00-00959. Voice notes or text on 063-688-0959. Thabiseng. Dumela.
Good evening in this cold weather.
You know, I say it like that, no?
Yeah.
Because even you people are thieves.
Yes. But I've been telling you this.
You know, lawyers, even they are thieves too. So this is going to be one of those conversations where she's going to have to reckon with the fact that they too are thieves.
Yeah. Mm. But I've been saying this, that a lot of our colleagues out there are very unscrupulous, and they take money that are not due to them.
1.4 billion rand.
Yeah, 500 cases.
Of clients' money, yes, guys.
Yes.
Lija chelete sabato. 500 people.
Yeah.
And 1.4 billion. So I hear people being struck off the roll.
Yes.
Do they ever get arrested and spend time in jail?
A few, yes. Not all of them. So this is the process, right? When you hire a firm, and then you pay, usually it's deposits that are hefty that go into the trust account. So 10,000 ling can pay directly to the business account most of the time, right? In fact, I remember, I think it was three years ago, where the LPC sent out a notice to ask practitioners to say, guys, let's not put monies that are insignificant in the trust account, because now when it comes to audit, like right now, it's audit time for all attorneys. We need to submit our trust accounts to the LPC so they can see what we've been doing in there. So if your trust account is not busy, you have to submit an exemption. But if your trust account is in traffic, you have to get an auditor who's then going to explain what is happening there and link all the dots for the LPC. So the LPC did send a communication about 3 years ago. So if you get 10,000, 15,000, and you put it in your trust account, it's an expense for you that is really unnecessary. Mm. But now if you're going to be dealing about 150,000, 250,000 and all of that, it makes sense for that kind of deposit to go into the trust account. Now the trust account, the way it works, per I think section 86, the interest that is in the trust account does not accumulate to the client. Remember, we're not an interest bearing situation. Even though it does accumulate interest, that interest goes to the LPC.
Okay.
It doesn't go to the client, because the client is paying you for services that you're going to render. It's just that they're not due yet.
It doesn't go to the lawyer.
Yeah. It's just that it's not due yet. Mm. So once I've worked and all of that, then
you then deduct your fee.
Correct.
From the actual amount.
Yes.
The initial amount.
Yes. So I can transfer.
You're not paying yourself from the interest fee.
Yes. Yes. So now that money, I transfer it from the trust account to the business account, and I can show invoices to show that I have earned that particular money.
Let's get practical.
Yeah,
okay. Nalimudi Bedi, we are walking hand in hand.
Yes.
And then one of us, I don't know, can't come to work for 6 months, whatever the case may be. Then road accident fund. No, just before we get there, there's an entabi saying that comes, especially like it, and all. She comes at the hospital because somebody at the hospital has whispered to say, I'm an accident case.
Mm.
She comes, and she comes pretending to be nice. And then she tells me how much they can help me.
Yeah.
We can make sure you get your monies. They usually say that.
And
then before, she's already told me, Mosore, boma body guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Body. Million. That's how they talk.
Yeah.
And I have become so excited that I don't think to ask other questions.
Yes.
Du tlet body million.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also told me that, you know, the doctor says on your records, you only have your toe that actually is fractured. Where else is it painful? Again, a lawyer, as a doctor, who tells you this. Tell me, haona mo homo mo peinante. And then I say, it's still fresh, pela. I kisho gutle kare. Can I leave something nyana? Areke. That's it. Where? Mumkukutung.
Wangwal.
Lemo kai hap. Uta kai peini. I maybe wait see. Nekinali mar nekinali ona before peini ya mumunaning. Areke. I kiri ki olona saiti le basiru chasing moon. Kiri are areke. In other words, half of the things that are in there are not true.
Yeah.
And then she takes this report and then she says to you, don't worry, retlo thusa. Wena, never be worried. Dula still. And then Wakinya wa faila. Ibile she tells you the pain is just nangto na hore. Let's show her ibutuku. Okay, no, that's fine. La faila mole. And then she is very good at her job. The money will come into her account.
Yes.
Because she is doing the paperwork. She's supposed to give you your money. After she takes, or at least she's supposed to declare how much you got, and then take whatever percentage that you guys agreed on.
Yeah.
But often the percentages don't get discussed when she tells me, "Gadi pay ni six nans on."
Which is where the main problem lies.
Correct. So, problem number one is that you don't talk about what her fee is up front.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps telling you she's helping you, and that's not true. She's merely a lawyer representing a client. She's not helping. I'm not helping you. The state was going to pay you the money anyway, even if you had done the forms yourself. Which is what they are asking people to do now.
Yes.
Actually, because of these Ntabi sayings that eat 1.4 billion rands yabatu. So let's talk Ntabi saying about what questions should a person have when you come pretending to be helpful? What is it, a percentage? Is it a fee? How does it work? What's the right kind of fee to be paying a lawyer for help?
So usually in matters such as the example you gave, the lawyer would be the one to pay specialists, doctors who are going to give reports on what it is that you're suffering. There will be ones to pay actuaries who will then calculate that for the 6 months that Mudibedi won't be able to work, how much that's going to be. All of those things come directly from the pocket of the attorney.
Hang on. Let's take it step by step.
Yes.
You are in hospital.
Mm.
You're probably seeing specialists anywhere there.
Yes.
They're probably producing reports there.
Yeah.
Should the lawyer be coming to take those files to compile their report?
That's correct.
Okay.
And also get a second opinion so that it's not just one report that they're relying on. So that's why.
So they must go find another doctor.
Correct.
So how it was better, you must go to another facility to be tested or checked out, I guess.
Yes. Okay. And usually the ones that do that are private hospitals.
Yes, and that's costly.
That's very costly. So that's when it comes out of the attorney's pocket for them to pay for all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, most of the time when you're going to take somebody to any sort of specialist, they don't have the money to pay.
What's the truth about what actually happens? So the specialist and the doctor have a relationship generally?
Yes, the specialist, the doctor, the attorney, usually they work together in that they do a lot of these kinds of matters. There. So he can do the assessment. They had their own agreement in terms this of fee structure.
This is it.
That if I do this, you will pay me this, you because it's my job. I'm a specialist in this particular
thing. The reason
thing.
I asked the question is that this relationship, how privy are you to the bills of the specialist? So when a patient, yes, I understand you're doing the admin for me. Are you showing me the paper trail? Are you supposed to be showing me what a specialist X is?
Yeah,
you're
supposed to be. You're so, supposed
guys,
to be informed.
It's important because I think if some of you or your family members are in this process, these are the things you should be getting as you're going along.
Yep.
You don't ask for them after the fact.
Yep.
After oferite, chelet.
Yep.
Because sometimes, the day you get the money, you are happy.
Hey.
Only then you get upset.
Yeah.
You see how it works? you do hear me? Uto mufa 600,000. Yeah, no grille 6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes and whispers, and then someone says to me, or maybe secretary, I got thing, Eri, but she has 6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oto si 6 million. Then I get upset.
Yeah.
After I get 600,000.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be getting these statements as you go along.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And well, if I took it too far. Once Ntabi Seng has approached you, or you've approached Ntabi Seng, whichever way.
It's usually, okay. Ntabi Seng approaches.
Ntabi Seng is the one who approached
Ntabi
you.
Ntabi Seng got a phone call from a nurse say, bed number 6. Shabamo.
So Tabsenke will approach. Once she's promised you the heavens and the stars,
the million.
The first question of Tabsenke was, how much is this going to cost me? Hi,
Skawara.
No. I know for a fact who the lawyers bar charge. How much are you charging me? What am I looking at practically? And then this is a contract. So a signamo. So that when we are done, I know I can get something out of this, because I know you can't afford.
Sign a contract before you authorize her after those events.
Yes. And you read that contract, because that is a contingency fee agreement.
Mm.
So contingency says, I know that you don't have my money right now, but we are having an agreement that I can get my fees from the payment that's coming, that's due to you.
Let's just stop there. Actually, lawyers don't want you to have the money now. Even if you had the money now.
Yeah.
They prefer for you not to have the money now.
Especially like the million.
Think about it, folks. If your bills, try it. See if you can't bring that up front with the lawyer.
Yes.
To say, maybe I have medical aid. Maybe I can pay for some of these specialists. Try it and see how that conversation goes.
Yep, fully agree. And then that contingency fee agreement, it's a set fee. It's in terms of the Contingency Act, get 25%.
Okay.
You cannot be now from 6 million, you're now paying 50%. That is not what the law says.
So how does that get calculated in Tabi Seng? Because a specialist bill comes to, I don't know, 800,000.
Yeah.
Or little less than that. You are probably going to get, 12 million rand. 25% of 12 million rand when the bill was only 500,000.
Mm. So,
because you also have to add your own fees.
Yes.
But how do you come to the 25%? Because generally what you people do is that you will charge me for a phone call. In other words, there will be a record.
Yes.
Of how much you, what you did, what resources you used in the admin process.
Correct.
There should be an account of
correct.
That.
Correct.
So why does it become automatically 25%?
It's per the Act. The Act gives us that leeway.
Okay.
For it to be at 25%.
Right? I'm just putting it out there. Labon, the law allows them.
Maraki 25%. It's not
25% of the millions. Labon. Labon.
But there's a catch.
Tell us.
There's always a catch.
Mm.
If it so happens that whilst I'm busy drafting and preparing and doing all these reports and whatnot, that you end up terminating my mandate,
mm-hmm.
the contingency agreement,
mm-hmm.
ERI, my fees up until the moment that you terminated me now become due.
It's fine. This is where I struggle with this whole thing, Tabi Singh, is that, and that's exactly why the Road Accident Fund has run out of money and it's got problems and it's asking people to come directly.
Yeah,
because remember, I only had a toe problem. You then gave me a spine problem. You gave me a finger problem.
Yep.
You gave me a head problem.
Yep.
Because you wanted to escalate.
Yes.
What was wrong with me and escalate this bill so that you can get the 25% of this total bill.
Yep.
Ne? Right there, unethical.
Correct.
Right there, unethical. So the entire process is flawed because everything is fraudulent.
Mm. Agreed with you. I remember when we started the firm, a lot of RAF matters came and I'm like, I'm not going to touch RAF. At the time, it was a hot potato, more so than what it is now.
Mm.
I remember in 2019, 2020, LPC released a list of over 100 firms that were charged with fraud.
Mm.
At the time, I think it was sitting at like 450 million that they were aware of. There were firms, Bellory, they received payments of 45 million and they have not paid over to the clients. And it's not just RAF and medical negligence. There's also deceased estates.
There are many, many. Guys, I mean, seriously, there are many. Others are legitimately families that need that money. Families where maybe it has been an issue at the workplace and there was maybe an injury at the workplace and then the lawyer came to represent a man who's the only breadwinner in the house who works at a mine, for instance. And also this thing, the cruelty of it.
Yes.
Where you get the money now and you just keep stringing along the family.
Or you pay them a monthly 10,000, 20,000 rand.
I mean, there was a famous, there's a high profile case of a man like that now. I don't remember his name. And children are hungry.
Yes.
And this man was, he kept saying to them, if you dare, I stop giving you your monthly payment.
Yes.
As if to say that's his prerogative.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is what is happening. So much so that the SIU is now working hand in hand with the Fidelity Fund to try and get a lot more of attorneys who are doing this versus the 500 that they've already found. And also to have criminal charges leveled against
people must go to jail.
Yeah. Because what is sad is that the Fidelity Fund is our insurance as attorneys.
Yes.
So if you fail to get your monies
they
back from
me, out.
Then they pay back what they can. Doesn't even pay the full amount that is due to you.
Mm.
They only pay what they can. And then you can sue this attorney. But here you are, 1 year a layperson. Two, you still have to pay another attorney, which you don't have money for, against another attorney. They're going to make sure that they drag this matter. I mean, if I can represent myself, I'm going to drag this matter as long as I can until your funds are depleted again from your attorney who's assisting you. And then now you're stuck without this matter going forward. 1.4 billion.
That we know of.
That we know of, yes. And there's still more that is coming. Because the LPC says they don't get less than 1,000 complaints from attorneys who have spent client money when it has not been due to them.
Hi, guys. I don't know what to say. I rest my case.
With estates, what I can say is this. With deceased estates, attorneys are entitled to 3.5% of the gross amount of the estate, which is paid from the estate late account. If you have checked out your attorney and you believe then you can give your attorney power of attorney,
yes,
over the estate late account, so
yes,
that they can monitor what's happening. It's an interest bearing account.
Yes.
Monthly, your attorney is supposed to send you the statement so you can see where you are at in terms of that amount.
Who's being paid, who, yes, you're still owing,
yeah,
who's you're able to settle, who says you're owing them, as in the estate. When,
yeah,
I say who says, as in the estate, because sometimes it's a deceased estate.
Yes.
The person doesn't exist, but it's the estate represents that.
Correct.
Person.
But up until the master has given you the go-ahead to pay as the,
yes,
the thing,
the,
you send statements in and link interest to show where the money is.
Things
at.
Like the children's school fees,
yes,
maybe. So what you as the lawyer inform the municipality, the school, that these children, their parents or parent has passed away,
yeah,
we can't pay, but there is an estate.
Yes.
So once things are wrapped up, they
then
will
we
pay
start
you.
Paying.
So, but don't liskatima mabone, liskatima mates.
Yes.
Liskakuba bana skulu. Okay, we've got Jabulani on the line from Zola. Hello, Jabulani.
Hello, Suspamela Kunjani.
Siyaphila ninjani baba?
Hayi man, siyaphila. Yazi ngikhuluma ngento engithintayo nami amaloya.
Yebo bhuti wami.
Siswami man, ngidinga the advice lam. Last year we tried to buy a property of 4.2 million and we couldn't go through because of there was a lot of negligence that were done by the conveyancer. So now that property, that conveyancer, we put a deposit of 1.6.
Yes.
That conveyancer was harassing us. So now the property was sold for 4.95, which is way above. But that conveyancer doesn't want to give us our money back.
Are it based on what?
I still want to understand because today she said to me, she's waiting for a court order or an agreement from the seller. I ask her, why are you still keeping my money while the same property that we are buying is sold, and it's sold above the amount we are buying, so there's no damages.
Yes.
You haven't incurred any damages. Why are you still keeping our money? Yes. So I'm not sorry to say what I'm going to say, but I'm not insulting anyone. Sometimes these mahua are telling the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to lie.
Yeah.
White lawyers, some of them, as much as black lawyers are eating other people's money, but white, they are playing the dirty game. So I need an advice from the what should I do? How do I report this lawyer?
Okay. So the first thing, Gore, you write to her again. I know she's going to answer you the way she's going to answer you, but you write to her and say the offer to purchase, the OTP stipulates under clause whatever that once the contract has been terminated by either the property not being sold to you or whatever, then it means money should be returned to me. And then we quote the illegal, wherever it appears in the OTP, there has to be a clause like that in the OTP. And then you say,
okay,
the property has now been sold to somebody else, which means as a result, you have breached the contract and therefore this contract is terminated. I am due back my money minus whatever service fee that they would have dealt with trying to help with the selling of the property, but you're due your money back. And failure for her to pay any money back to you within a stipulated amount of days, because it should be in their trust account. So it shouldn't be tabagabane, okay, I'm waiting for this. It should be a situation where, no, listen, it's done and dusted, here's your money, because they shouldn't have removed it from the trust account. It should be available for it to be paid back to you. Ne? So since they are giving you issues, if you don't pay my money back within 3 days, for example, I am going to report you to the LPC. That's the first thing that you do. You report them to the LPC and find out when you hang up here whether or not they are registered as practicing attorneys for on the LPC website, it's you will see they will appear there if badeng as practicing people. You're going to report them to the LPC, and then you're going to open criminal charges for theft and fraud. And then you'll tell them Rabani, you're going to sue them, and then give them the 3 days. See what happens. If nothing happens, don't hesitate. You go straight to the LPC, you report, then you go straight to the nearest police station, you open a case of theft.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's what I need to do.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jabulani. Thank you so much for that. Yo?
Yeah.
I don't know. But so I believe right now, for instance, with the Road Accident Fund, you do have the authority to go straight to their website.
Yes.
And check and track your own payments. So you may still have a lawyer in the process assisting you guys. Mm. This is important. You are authorized now to go and track yourself, your own payments with the Road Accident Fund. If they have paid in Tabiseng already, it should tell you that there was a payout.
Yeah.
It also can tell you how much Ntabiseng was paid. If the money has not been paid, I think it will tell you the estimate or what, something
plus
like
minus.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Around about what you should expect to get.
Mm.
So you no longer rely only on Ntabiseng to tell you swords, because they also have that thing,
yes,
that lie they tell people.
The thing
your
is, it was always
coming.
There. Clients still had access to that, but then because there was some kind of connection or relationship between the attorneys and the people who work in the RAF, to go find out what's happening.
And
like, no, we can't give you that information. We need to give it to your attorney. Which is not the truth.
So now I think it's actually online.
Yeah.
You don't ask anybody. You don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
They don't need to know you. I think all you need is your name.
Yes.
Your IDs and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you punch them in and it should come out.
Yeah.
And tell you this is what's happened.
Yeah.
With your money. And it will tell you when your money was paid out.
To show you just how bad it is with these trust accounts. When it's during audit time, the reason we get audited is that we can get our FFC, Fidelity Fund Certificate, which permits me to practice for the year.
Mm.
If my trust account is in order, the FFC is released, and then I know from 2026 going forward, I'm good. I can practice for 2026. I saw interviews with JSC, with the judge, whereby one woman was being interviewed for a position of a judge, and she had been getting an FFC fraudulently for 3 years or 4 years.
Hey, when?
Wherein they cooked the books of the trust account, wherein she knew that monies were being taken out fraudulently from the FFC, from the trust account, I beg your pardon, and yet they were able to get their FFC for 3 to 4 years. So...
And then she wants to be a judge.
And then she wants to be a judge.
Then she wants to be a judge.
Yes, and then she wants to be a judge.
And put you in jail.
It is that bad, because there are, I remember when we had to...
What happened to her? Why was Samogwala?
I don't know, because it was recently, man. These latest
interviews.
Yeah,
I remember the recent...
Yeah, so I don't know if...
I think I remember the case, actually, that lady.
Yes.
It was quite embarrassing.
I don't know if after that interview, the LPC has done something about it.
Mm.
I don't know if the clerk... Because if it was an actual case, theft and fraud, you also defrauded the LPC and the FFC.
Yes, everything.
Everything. So they must go after you. They have to. So I could say if they've done that... I remember when we had submitted our exemption because our trust account was not working, but we had money that came as a result of a divorce proceeding. It had been in our account for about 2.5-3 years at the time. And they wanted us to get an auditor to explain why the money is still in the account and it hasn't left.
Mm.
So all we could have done was show the communication between the different attorneys that the money is still here because the parties are not agreeing.
Mm.
But they wanted us to get an auditor. So we have an auditor.
Mm.
He did the papers. But LPC wanted auditors that work with the LPC.
Mm.
What does that mean? An auditor is an auditor.
Mm.
So when I heard this interview. Mm. I remembered that connection that Hunaneba Tubatsebana Leba to somewhere. And therefore, if it's a, it's an auditor that works directly with the LPC, you can be bribed.
It starts with the family you're born into.
Yeah.
Don't come here. We get a car house. Come here. Pretend like you don't know how the world works.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's the family you were born into, what school you went to, what varsity you went to, you know, what club you were in.
Mama? Yeah. One tola or children.
And then tough.
Yeah.
Mama, if you are not on in those circles.
Circles.
We can't help you.
No, you're on your own.
Can't help you. That's how the world works.
Yeah.
So your father, your uncle was never a judge. Matibedi's laughing. Who's going to help you?
Yeah.
Because we're not first generation.
Yes.
Bona, they've got judges.
They've been doing this.
Their fathers and brothers and uncles have been judges.
Yeah.
So these things work. All right. So that's the second, that's the one topic we were going to discuss. What's the other one?
The other one is quite interesting. So this happened to come across, came across this case in one of the lawyer groups that we are part of. And this woman was suing the state for wrongful arrest, wrongful detention, and wrongful litigation. So she was charged with the crime of rape. And rape at the time, before it was changed in terms of the Sexual Offences Act, was in terms of the common law. And the common law definition of rape was gender-based. Mm. So it was only a man that could literally rape.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not sufficient grounds for you to be held as an accomplice to the rape, in other words, you were not physically present and in a manner of speaking assisting
part of it,
then you couldn't be held as an accomplice. So from what we gather from the civil litigation where she was suing the state, the judge in Mpumalanga High Court, when he was going through the regional court case, this lady would bring young girls to this man's house under the fortitude that they're going to be going to shelters and all of that for protection. It's usually children whose homes things were bad and all of that, but she never brought boy children, she brought girl children. A few of these girls reported to her that they are being assaulted or they're being raped. And she did nothing but continued to just
bring more.
Yes.
As a shelter.
Yes. Mm. And then when this eventually made its way to the state, and then a criminal case was opened, 19 charges of rape were brought against the gentleman. And then she was charged with 6 counts of rape, alternatively as an accessory to rape. So the only reason that she was acquitted is how the definition of rape at the time was structured, that it was a man that could rape, because only he can penetrate a woman, a vagina basically, and then as a result that is the definition of rape. And then obviously the issue of consent, that this person did not give consent. So based on her being acquitted, the gent obviously was found guilty. She then went to sue the state for, you know, all of these things, because here I am, I've been found guilty. And the judge said, no, you're not coming here with clean hands. The fact that you're acquitted doesn't mean you're not guilty. Yes. Unfortunately, this is not a criminal court. It's a civil court, because you're here for other things. But the fact that you were,
how dare you?
Yes, those were the words.
How dare
you brought these kids, knowing what this man does. You kept bringing these kids, and you only stuck to female kids. And when you knew what was happening, you told them that little about right, and you this continued. You are an accomplice
and an accessory,
and an accessory after the fact. It's just that it's very fortunate for you that the law at the time that this act was being done couldn't
If possible,
yeah.
The law was supposed to, the state was supposed to reinstate the charges and try her again.
Yes,
under the new
possible.
Law.
Yeah.
If it were possible.
If it were possible.
Because she would
happened.
Then be guilty.
Yes. Yeah. And as a result, the judge was very scathing against her to say, how dare you? After everything, how dare you? You are guilty, 100%. It's just that, unfortunately, in criminal law, it is this or nothing. There's no in between.
Mm.
So you are not going to get a cent from the state. So it brought a very interesting dynamic in terms of, we don't really hear a lot of cases that make it all the way to court for women who have raped in one form or another.
There must be punitive measures for someone who wastes the state's time, resources, and attempts to even rob the state.
Yes.
What were those?
For this particular matter, unfortunately, the state would not have had a leg to stand on because of the way in which rape was defined then.
No.
Currently.
I'm saying the attempt for her to sue the state.
Oh, usually what would happen in that situation when you fail, a court order is issued. So if the state defended, which they did, then the state can claim costs against her, either on attorney-client basis or punitive costs. Mm. In other words, pay us what would have been due to us if we were private attorneys. So I do believe a court order was issued, but that's about as far as it goes. Unless the state were to, but no, the state unfortunately can't reinstate any criminal charge, because once you are acquitted of the charge, you can't be tried for the same crime twice. That's the downside of that situation. But it also brought me to the forefront that what we always say about, for example, gender-based violence, it is a gender, not a woman who is violated. And, you know, all of those things. A lot of men are scared to come through.
Mm.
And a lot of children are also scared to come through to say, my mom, my aunt, my sister, whatever, raped me, because that is not what the picture of rape is.
Mm.
Rape is that it's the man who is doing this, and therefore they should be held accountable.
And those assault cases, and Tabi saying, is you have a lot of male patients, clients,
yeah.
So to what extent is it the client too afraid to even attempt it, and on the one hand, the courts themselves being prejudiced?
Yeah. Firstly, it's going to the police station to report it.
Because you need a case number.
Hey.
You must start with the case number.
So if it's a police station is a man or rape.
Is that better?
No. Because how am I with your perpetrator? They're going to say
with a lawyer.
Is
it better?
It's better to go with your attorney. But because how you only want, they're going to be like, but man, what do you mean?
No, they're going to laugh.
Yeah. They're going to laugh at you.
No.
What are you doing?
Kimosari.
Exactly. Yeah, I will solve until I'm sad.
Moses in Joburg South. Hello, Moses.
Ma'am.
And Dad.
Ma'am, what I just need a clarity on.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense out of this nonsense of one renewing a driver's license.
Yes.
And at the very same time, you're compelled to apply for a temporary driver's license, whereas your receipt has got all your details. From my point of view, all what you need is your ID, if they stop you, and that receipt to produce the purpose of the temporary driver's license. What is it for?
I have no idea. I would have to research and find out what is happening, because I agree with you. I have driven while I was waiting for my license to come out with that receipt to say, this is what's happening, this is where we are at, and then they allow you to continue. If the law has changed, I am not aware of it. I can research for you, and then I will revert and find out what is happening.
Yeah, because for me, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, you're paying for one and the same thing.
It has not expired.
Mm. Okay, your license has expired. Then you go and renew it.
Yeah. Are you talking about the car license or your own driver's license? Yeah,
I'm
answering that.
Yeah.
To say legally, your driver's license doesn't expire.
Yeah.
I fully agree with what you say. Your driver's license in law has not expired. Because what has expired is the paper or the card or whatever you are carrying with you. And this is merely for the city to collect revenue. That's the only purpose. They say generally it's also to upgrade technology. But in actual fact, they can go tap into the system. They can find you, meaning you are still a driver that you were last week. The only difference sometimes is if you have, let's say, deteriorating eyesight, then there would be that update. But to be honest and truthful, I think there's merit to you challenging if anybody had the time or the money to go all the way to say, I was a driver, I'm a driver, I remain a driver. You know, so that argument Outer has been making for many, many years, by the way.
It's very interesting because I was listening to an argument recently in a bail application. I just happened to be in court that relates more or less to what you're talking about. But it is... asylum seeker permit.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a long backlog. So as long as you have that receipt that shows that you've applied, you cannot be deemed to be illegal in the country because you've done your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your fault that Home Affairs has backlog. So whether you are legal in the country, so when you're stopped by the police, you can't be told you're illegal when you've got proof that you've already applied for an extension. Same so could be the same argument you use for license here, how that it may have expired maybe a month after you got the receipt, but because of the backlog that is happening, your driver's license card is not available, and therefore you are waiting for that. It is not due to your own fault that you should now be forced to get a temporary license. So I think that would be the grounds that you could probably argue
to the point I was making earlier, what Outa is actually saying is even beyond that, to say Moses acquired a license 1903. We're now in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something else has deteriorated, like your eyesight, which is quite key to your driving, you still remain a driver.
Yeah.
Whether you've renewed your license or not, you remain a driver on the system.
Yeah.
You know? So if you had the money, you could say, no, bring on the tickets. If we can prove that there is absolutely no reason why the state should deem you a non-driver, since you were always a driver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, here's a twist of it. You, actually, like today, I've been to go and check. They say after 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Now they tell me, no, the machine is not ready in Pretoria.
So Iwani, Papa, let's tell you. Iwani. There's one machine. There's one machine in the entire country. One, not in Joburg, not in Gauteng, in the entire country, there's one machine. It's a fact.
Now, according to their rules, now, how much inconvenience you experience? You can't drive because, you don't want to take the temporary driver's license. You're waiting for them for 2 months to get your license. For me, that is why I said, I'm trying to make sense out of this nonsense because it doesn't give me any logic.
Yeah.
No, Moses, sorry. Mm. But we must first make sense of the fact that the whole country is one machine. And then it's going to be understandable.
Yeah, you're going to wait for
There's only one machine in this entire country.
So this whole practice, is it not tantamount to a scam of siphoning money from
that's what it is. It's the revenue collection method.
But people are quiet about it. It's wrong. People are quiet.
Start on that. We're coming to join the march. Start the fire. Start the fire. We're coming.
No, for me.
I'll write the placards.
Because I was sitting, then analyzing this. No, it doesn't make sense. No.
No, Skawara, we are going to get ready for the match. We're coming. We're coming. We'll wait. We'll wait for you. Thanks,
no,
Moses.
Just to get that clear, because for me, it's not it.
Sharp.
It's not on.
Thanks, Moses.
No.
Right. Bye <bye-bye>. Bye. Take a quick break before we take voice notes.
Voice note your point of view on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Kaya.
959.
On the street. On the air.
So, Sakila ning sizela angazi ngangisiza kanjani. Kufuthi batangiboshiwe manje ngo-January, nge-11 zaka-January. So, ngase sengiyejele, ngase sengithola ibhili. Amacala ebengithoswe wona i-rape, i-kidnapping, nokusabisa. Umuntu ebengivulele la macala, umuntu ebengithandana naye. So, mangifika esitokisini, mangiwabuza la maphoyisa. Oba wafika nawo lo muntu wamaphoyisa endlini wangikhomba. Mangifika esitokisini, ngabuza amaphoyisa ukuthi hawu, sengivulele i-rap kwenzenjani, ikheshi ivulwe nini. Ngikhuluma ngento yamanje, January. Mangibuza amaphoyisa kuthiwa ikheshi yavulwa last year. Last year, ngoJune, alright. Ngiboshwe-ke kanjalo ngiyiswe prison. Mase sengimele ngizobingelela inkantolo. Istatementi sabhalwa lo muntu ebengithandana naye. Asafana nalesi sashiwo iphoyisa. Sekuthiwa ngoMatch. Futhi kahle kahle bengiphila nalo muntu waba nejelasi ukuthi sengizwana nomunye umuntu because yena wahamba. So uza kimi alokhu angifuna imali kanti ungivulele ikhesi ene mina ngazi sengibona ngamaphoyisa azongilanda. And amaphoyisa angishaya. Ihlweni ngakubala okwasejele obejele nakhona ngashaywa futhi khona ngisacela nje usizo kahle kahle ningibonise kula macala engibhekane nawo. Ngiyafisa ngathi ngathola ummeli ngenxa yemali ke ngoba anginayo imali, angazi ukuthi ngingenza kanjani.
Yeah, no, so sorry, man. And the number of times rebona this kind of thing in court, it's so sad. But anyway, the easiest one, how can I court every single day? There's always a legal aid attorney. That's the beauty of all the courts that are South Africa. So what you need to do is inform the court that when you want an attorney, and then they will make you fill in court what we call an LA1 form, and then they will take that LA1 form to the office for processing, and then they open a case file for themselves, and then yeah, that's how you will get assistance.
But you need legal aid,
yes,
yeah. Sputla in Soweto, good evening and welcome, Sputla.
Good evening, ladies. Thank you so much for the show. It's so informative, and we are learning.
Thank you,
appreciate it. Mine is very quick, ladies. If you can assist, maybe next time you are on air talking about some of these issues, you can guide us. Earlier you said you can actually go to the RAF website and check the progress of your claim.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps maybe you can guide us away on the website, because I'm on the website and I don't know where to go.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys can tell us immediately, or maybe you need to check and then come back to open
that. I don't have that kind of a device in front of me. What I will do, I will make sure that we will literally take you through the steps. I'll do that, Sputla, so that in fact we may have a much more comprehensive show with the guys at RAF, ne?
Yeah,
so that they can assist you with all your queries.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Betty.
All right. Thanks, man, Sputla. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah. So I don't have that kind of a device in front of me. There are other kinds of devices here, not that kind of a device.
Yeah.
So I can't help you. But I think it's maybe best for us to get them in.
Yes.
So that they can tell us the kind of problems, because, yeah, it's a big mess.
Mm.
And, we, you know, essentially we keep speaking of a state with no money, and we don't have... Many analysts tell us we don't have a money problem.
Mm.
We have other problems, misuse of money,
yeah,
corruption. And we often label the corruption if it's by people who are working in the state. Corporate South Africa, folks, these
right
lawyers...
Right corner of crime.
Because those are siphoning money.
Correct.
From the state. This money, $1.4 billion that we know of now...
Mm.
Is money that could be doing something for all of us.
Yes.
We are speaking of a VAT increase right now because there isn't enough money.
Mm.
But money is being stolen daily by
all kinds of people, just you know, government employees.
Yep.
So it's another thing. Let's take a listen to another voice note.
I've got a daughter who was involved in an accident 2016 June. Until this day, ref hasn't paid. We used my medical aid because at the time she was 20 years, I think. She was still a scholar. And then we did everything that was supposed to be done by ourselves. I don't have any lawyer for the family. We did the follow-ups, and then the last time that we did the follow-up, it was sometime in 2023 when there was a doctor that was supposed to review her from their side. So she sustained a cut from the forehead, lost two frontal teeth, and then had a cut on the leg. There was no fracture. And then the brain scan, it was normal. And then there was a query injury on the back, dislocation of the bones, I think, on the spine. But later they just said, no, it was not like that. But I think when I check now, it's plus minus 8 years. When she followed up this year, January, they say they're paying the doctors that they were allocating them for her for review and reassessment. And then it's on the final stages of her being paid. So I would like to listen on the radio on how to go about following up.
Yeah. No, we'll need but to buy.
Yeah, you know what? I promise you, Tando and I will work on that, and we'll get them in, because I think there is an expiry date.
Prescription.
Yeah, I think so. The 8 years worries me.
Yes.
The 8 years worries me, because I can tell you now, the injury and the scar on the forehead and whatever, it's so difficult to prove that now, because the scars, you know, heal. And so let's get the people in so that we can try and get those answers for you. Ngaba is in Pretoria. Hello, Ngaba.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, Ngaba. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Just a quick one. I have a question in regards to RAF.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My mother was injured in a car accident around 2016. And she opted for the lawyer to do her claim for her. And then this thing has been going on until now, and then she has not received anything yet. When we made inquiries, Ref said an amount of 400,000 was paid to the lawyer, but the lawyer returned the money back to them and then took the case to court. So when we inquire from the lawyer now, he's saying he's no longer going to carry on with the case, but he also wants my mother to sign, I forgot what he called, what she needs to sign, so that she can he can go and claim her money for herself from REF, but he also wants that 25% from her when she gets this money, so that's why she wanted to
that
to
is
sign,
such an interesting case, Ngaba, because what I think is happening here, this particular lawyer was not able to claim more
than what he wanted.
Exactly. This guy, or is it a lady or a guy, whoever it is, decided the money's too little. 400,000 is skiddy peanuts, a waste of my time. That's what I think happened here. And so maybe the court thing was to contest the 400,000. So they're not telling you that they're so greedy that they were forcing RAF to pay more money. That's why they want your mother to
sign something.
The signing thing is about them asking your mother to savor their services, to say, I no longer want you guys. To release them, in other words. That's what the signing thing is about.
Yes, terminating the mandate. And therefore,
and then
triggering.
They can and also, so that you guys must pay.
That's what it's doing.
Yes.
It's triggering
what you owe.
Yes.
Don't sign anything. You need to take it forward.
Mm. So what you need to do, is you need to check at the court, whichever court it's at, that case number, and see if it's not on, it's not being put on review, in the sense that there was a payment, review or appeal. In the sense that RAF would have paid lesser than the amount that was there, because if there was a payment that was made, it means there was judgment that was given. There's a ruling that says that the amount we are going to pay, that we are authorizing RAF to pay, is 400K. So they probably took the matter either on appeal or review to say that the judge erred in the amount that they're supposed to pay and whatnot. So check with the case number on what's happening.
Let's tell
with that
you what's
matter.
Happened. They are fed up. They are fed up with your mother. Your mother was not injured enough.
Yes.
Your mother did not give them enough money. They think 400,000 was too little.
Yeah, because we have what he did was he gave us documents from the court. So yeah. I do have the documents from the court. So when I read the documents, I could see that her injuries were not that
serious. Which is where the problem is.
They're upset.
And if he is forcing you guys to sign a termination of mandate, under the contingency agreement that you would have signed initially, it triggers legal fees.
Yes.
So you may find that the legal fees are a lot more than the 400,000. So he wants that money.
Correct. And they're going to accumulate because of the time lapse as well. So don't sign it. Don't sign it. Ukwatile. Okay. They are mad
report
at
him
you.
To the LPC.
They are mad at you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. Ngaba. Yay. I lead the Kuruku Street. I got her. So, this lawyer decided, waste of my time. She didn't scream enough. When the doctors were assessing her, Urile, she's fine. She just kept saying she's fine.
Which
Bona
is the
no,
problem is
400,000.
I cannot tell
you. Because under 400,000. They are so annoyed.
Yeah.
They're so annoyed. Do you have another voice note? Okay. No, we don't have a voice note. I'll be saying, let's just give people where they can find you quickly before I go quickly to the X-Files.
Okay. So people can find us at 37 Harley Street in Randburg. Otherwise, an email can be sent to our offices on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za or call our landline on 087-265-8010 or send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523.
So folks, you know, if you have complicated cases and you're not sure of the process, you can email us the details and then we will forward them to Ntabi Singh. She can have a look and have time to do some research if that's what you want to do. The email address is POV, as in POV, not the full name, not point of view, POV@kaya959.co.za. POV@kaya959.co.za. Some of the cases I know, they need somebody to look through them before we can answer them on the phone. And I know Ntabi Singh is great with the questions on the phone, but sometimes you may have a complicated matter. Send it through the email and then she can have time to have a look at it so that we can respond properly to your questions. So that kind of is it for us for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.